welcome to another edition of Authors in Their Own Right. This series of podcasts features interviews with Canadian authors discussing their works and experiences, and is brought to you by the Canadian Authors Association National Capital Region. And now, here is your host, an author in her own right, Joanne L. Trombley.
Welcome. Good to be with you today. Our guest this episode is A. Colin Wright, author of Sardinian Silver. The young man, Arthur Fraser, at the center of this adventurous story, is filled with youthful romanticism about an exotic country. A young man longing for sexual conquest, he gives way to the joy of falling in love with Anna, a Sardinian woman who is no longer accepted at home, but when she falls in love with one of Arthur's best friends. His incessant schemes to win back her affections takes the reader on a feverish and arousing roller coaster ride. Hello, Colin.
How are you?
Very nice of you to be with us today. I've never had the pleasure of being to Sardinia, but after reading Sardinian Silver, I know the ancient sites, beautiful beaches, stunning coastline, and historic towns. Can you share with us how you've come to know this island so intimately?
Yes, well, I went there in 1962 just as a job to teach English in a dreadful school, actually, but it was a fun place to be. But it was far more primitive then than it is today. Tourism was just beginning to be developed, but there were all these very, what I'd call primitive attitudes about sexuality and so on. So you couldn't go out with a girl unless you were engaged. And then sometimes you might have the father standing behind you in church with a shotgun, so you
Ooh.
Had to be a bit careful.
I hope you didn't get caught in that situation, did you?
No. But now, of course, it's totally changed. I was back just briefly in 2004. And now it's just a place like any other in many ways. Mm. And in fact, I was quite shocked because I wasn't used to it, but to see actually a man and a woman kissing on the street. I mean, that would have been unheard of in the time that I was there.
Isn't that amazing in such a short period of time and an ancient culture, how these changes can come about? It's mm-hmm. an interesting world we live in. Well, as you were saying, the story really is set in 1960s Sardinia, and the book gives us a feel of the distant culture of that time. Briefly, can you tell us how you personally experienced assimilating into and belonging to a society that was really different than you? Because our lovely Arthur Fraser in the story, really, he really gets caught up in this.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I would say I was a bit distressed about it in some ways. I mean, it was an interesting place to be, a fascinating place. But then, you know, I wanted to find a girlfriend, and it was just impossible.
Well, what was impossible about it? Because that's this sort of assimilating and fitting in with the culture.
Yeah, well, you just, as I say, you couldn't go out with anyone at all without being engaged officially. Now, which meant that women were always chaperoned. You could kind of go out in a group, but there was always the chaperone there. And it was something, it was difficult to get around, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one of the things. It changed very soon after that, apparently. And it was, I think, with the development of tourism and more tourists going there. When I was there, it was beginning to get developed. I should say, actually, I missed my one opportunity for making money because I could have bought land very cheaply at that stage.
Yes.
Everybody, all the peasants were getting more for their land than they ever thought possible, which was dirt cheap by Western prices.
Yes.
And if I'd have had the money and the information, I could have made a fortune. But
you were a young man just starting out in life,
yes,
you know.
Right.
Now, these cultural aspects of things, was that with foreigners or with their own?
With the Sards themselves.
With the Sards themselves.
Yes, very much so.
Oh, how interesting. Mm. Now, each character in the book, in my experience, is so well drawn. They seem to be driving the novel themselves, Did the characters occur organically for you as you were writing the story, or did you draft them beforehand? These characters are amazing.
A lot of them, not all, but a lot of them are essentially based on people that I knew. But then I developed them in their own way, so it's not autobiographical at all. Mm-hmm. But I did take characters and put them in certain situations.
And, so you knew some of these amazing folks.
yes, most of them. There are some that are totally fictitious. A lot of them are based on reality.
Well, they aren't larger than life. They truly are people of life that you probably knew somebody or somewhere along the line. But as I say, the characters, they're almost driving the story because they're so into the story with you and you're into the story with them. So you're going forward and it's not that you can think of what they're going to think of next, but when it happens, you just can't put a pass on, you know, kind of thing.
Yes,
so
right.
You had some pretty interesting friends then when you were
in
Sardinia in that particular time period then because they truly are quite amazing. Beginning on page one, my adventure with Arthur began, who is our central character. In the first paragraph, I was standing on the deck of the ship with him. On page two, we had lost our luggage. And page three, we were running desperately across the train station. Oh, we were very busy, and you just hucked me and pulled me in with all this action, and it was absolutely incredible. Did you draw from your own experience as and I understand you are a well-traveled, and I would say adventurous man, but did you draw from your own experiences?
Yeah, well, actually, that scene of losing my luggage, that did happen, as was described, and I did indeed have to run in Milan to get the train to Genoa with about 3 minutes to spare. So that actually did happen. It wasn't at that stage that I met Gavino, but it was just a convenient way of making that happen. But no, I travelled quite a bit, although of course in those days it was more independent, going abroad with school trips, doing a certain amount of stuff by myself, and of course I had a lot more energy, as one does in those days.
And Arthur has a lot of energy. He's quite an incredible fella. But I think obviously you're drawing from your experiences and true to life experiences that you had. But I think the exciting thing was literally drawing me in from the moment I was standing on the ship deck.
That's what I'm glad.
Yeah. And so that was your intention, to really start where we've just embarked on the ship.
Like many novels, it's gone through various versions, and I can't now remember whether that's actually the point that I started at originally. It's the point I came to when I did the final edit. But it's been on the go for many years, in fact, so it's had a lot of changes.
Yes, but I guess as a reader, I appreciated literally now being on the ship. I mean, the anchor is like, sailing.
Right.
Things are drifting away in terms of scenery and new scenery coming in. And so you brought me to the exact moment and spot that I, was meeting up with Arthur literally on the ship.
Yeah.
And I was pulled. I was drawn.
Good. Well, that's, of course, something now that has changed totally. I mean, Porto Torres then, there was just one pier and one ship came in once a day or twice a day before Easter. And that's all there was. And the train came right out along the pier and you got on it there. Now, if you go to Porto Torres, it's a bustling port. The whole port's been rebuilt. There's ships in and out the whole time. I had difficulty recognizing it.
And how did you feel? I mean, I guess they say we can't go back home. And in Sardinian Silver, 1960, now some of us may be a little bit young, but I certainly remember 1960. Mm-hmm. And it was a different time, a different place. Yeah.
And, you know, there is the old saying, I mean, we just can't go back home. The home you paint for us in Sardinian silver is, you know, the ancient ruin sites.
Those are still there, of course.
Yeah, but the culture with it. And we're driving through the countryside, you know, in Sardinian silver, and it's not an excursion we're on to go visit.
Yes.
You know, it's experiencing. Did you feel that when you were there that was really important to you? Because you certainly have translated that into the book. I guess I've gone to the ancient ruins. Now I can't wait to put my own feet there. But through the book, I've experienced them and the beautiful
It was important. The thing is, though, there are bits of Sardinia that I missed. I mean, the thing that one has to remember is that, of course, at the time I didn't have a car. So we went out occasionally with one or two people that did, and when we went down to Cagliari, we hitchhiked, which was unheard of there, but I couldn't just go anywhere. But we did manage, when we went down to Orgosolo, which was the most fantastic place there, we did go by a car, and that was quite an adventure at that time, because it really was a bandit's village. And it's one of the most fascinating places I've been to. Again, I went back 2 or 3 years ago, and, well, it seemed fairly ordinary compared with those days.
Well, as I say, in the book, you bring me there. You bring me there. As you say, maybe things have changed now, but you bring me there in that time. And your ability to be so descriptive, but literally place the reader right in the middle of the piazza or the whatever. I had a lot of fun there.
Actually, I mean, if I can interrupt there, but that again was something that's changed. Because in those days, the one event of the day was the passeggiata, when everybody would walk up and down the main square, and that was the major social occasion. It no longer takes place. People gather in the bars, but there's not the same need for it. It hasn't the same formality. And I went back, when I went to Sassari, I thought, well, perhaps I'll take part and see if I meet anyone that I knew. And of course, as I say, there was nobody there.
Oh.
And
I guess we can't go back.
And the two wines, Sardinian gold and Sardinian silver, they're no longer in production either.
Oh,
which is a shame.
Well, that's a big shame.
Yeah,
that's a huge shame. Sardinian silver is a winner of the fiction category of the Pinnacle Book Awards, and you'll straighten me out. A finalist, the Next Generation Indie Book Awards. Well, this is really exciting. Congratulations. What has this award experience been for yourself and for Sardinian Silver?
Well, it's won quite a lot. You can submit these for various things, and it's won, as you say, quite a number. We just won another one the other day on Reader's Choice Awards or something. So it's nice. You get a little sticker that you can put on it, and of course you can quote that everywhere. And I hope it will do something for sales. Sales are a bit slow, but you know that's.
I think that's, you know, that seems to be life out there in terms of a lot of things with the economic situation.
So, not only that, but there's so much out there now.
There is quite a bit out there.
Yeah,
no, you're absolutely right. I think we're a very creative society, and we are putting a lot out. Things are quite different. Sardinian silver at times is a romp through amorous exploits of sexual awakening, young man's urges. Also, the heartfelt confessions, young lovers, jealousy. There's so many wonderful elements. Do you feel the story is as applicable to men as it is to women?
Perhaps more so. I don't know. I've had people say that it's a very male book and men are more interested in it than women. I don't know. I can't really judge that.
Okay. Just wondering where you thought your target audience was, because I am a woman.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Good.
I absolutely enjoyed it. I thoroughly did. So how can a listener contact you or purchase a copy of Sardinian Silver?
Well, first of all, it can be ordered at any bookstore. You can get it online at any of the Amazon sites or Chapters Indigo, Barnes & Noble, or the publishers, iUniverse.com. Or you can get into my own websites and see more of it there. The main one is www.sardiniansilver.com. And then there are a couple more things as well. And you could also contact me directly if you're interested. That's simply acw@queensu1ca.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much, Colin, for joining us today.
I've enjoyed it.
We both have, and I know our listeners will as well. Amorous exploits, drama games, ancient ruins, exotic scenery, adventure, a mysterious society, and local customs. Sardinian Silver paints a portrait of Sardinia in 1960 as it entertains the reader with the youthful exploits and mistakes of a young man in his love life.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of Authors in Their Own Right, brought to you by the Canadian Authors Association, National Capital Region. Your host has been Joanne L. Tremblay. Joanne is a personal coach, artist, photographer, broadcaster, and author of the Self-Coaching Toolbox, 6 Tools for Personal and Professional Growth and Development. The Self-Coaching Toolbox is available at your local bookstore, Chapters, or can be ordered online using Joanne's website at www.potentialsmanagement.com. This is your announcer, Mark Henderson, inviting you to join us for further editions of Authors in Their Own Right. And remember, a good book is a friend that eventually turns its back on you, but still remains a friend.